Good morning again, and welcome back to Go Local Boom, your small business talk show on 1050 KTBL. Go Local Boom is sponsored by Go Local Boom LLC, Albuquerque's only online business directory where locally owned businesses and local customers can find one another. Visit GoLocalBoom.com. Once again, I'm your host, Sean Boccaccini. This is my partner, Vince Trujillo. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Sean. Glad to be here. Another great Saturday listening to local business owners and entrepreneurs talk about what's important and other great community organizations like we have this morning.
I'm very excited. I love what we do. And I love the weather last weekend. It was rainy all weekend. Let's hope for another rainy weekend.
Exactly.
So this morning, we're going to start off with a community group that also has a resource in the community. So it's pretty cool the way that they work together. Healing Addiction in Our Community is a local nonprofit that focuses on recovery resources for adolescents and families to be educated. And then Serenity Mesa is a juvenile residential treatment facility. So Jennifer Wise Burke, the executive director, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And then David Burke, her husband, Director of Programming Facilities. Welcome.
Good morning.
You guys, thanks so much for joining us. Let's jump right into the interview. Why don't you tell us about HAC and Serenity Mesa and where it all began?
Well, thanks for having us, Sean. So Healing Addiction in Our Community as a local nonprofit, we started 6 years ago as really a small education and awareness organization, primarily comprised of parents and grandparents who had kids and grandkids that were going through addiction issues. And so my son was a heroin addict at the time, and I didn't realize that we were having such a huge problem in our community until he became addicted to heroin, and that's where HAC started. Since then, we've evolved to a huge group of volunteers that does education and awareness events around the state of New Mexico.
Describe one of those events to me.
A lot of it, like we had an event a couple weeks ago called Dreamland, and we brought in author Sam Quinones, and we did a community event open to everybody. It was a free event, just talking about the problem, talking about solutions and things that community leaders and partners can do to make a difference in this epidemic.
That's wonderful. And these events have some popularity and notoriety. They gain a lot of exposure.
We're starting to. I mean, it's been a tough road. The last, 6 years, the first couple years was really tough because nobody wanted to talk about it. There's a huge stigma associated with addiction, especially with drugs like heroin and meth, and people just don't want to talk about it.
Even though you guys had community supporters in terms of or in the way of politicians who may have retired, community leaders and so on, who are all experiencing this in their own families.
Right.
Those are strong voices that come with a large circle of influence, but the topic is so taboo that it was difficult to gain exposure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we've experienced that as well. I'm involved in recovery resources in the community also. And it's unless you are touched by it in some way, it's really difficult to educate and help people to understand. So the people that come to your events, I assume, are predominantly those people whose families are affected somehow.
Pretty much. I mean, we try and reach out and we try and encourage people for as a prevention effort to get people there that may not have family members impacted just so they can learn about it. But most of the people that attend our events are being impacted directly.
So how do people gain access to information about your events and Healing Addiction in Our Community? How do they find you?
We mostly post most of our events on Facebook, so they can find us, Healing Addiction in Our Community, on Facebook. We also have a website, www.healingaddictionnm.org, and those are primarily the key ways. We have contact us pages, we have resource pages, we have links, we have as much information as we can possibly fit on one website on our website as well.
Wonderful. That's a lot of good information. So now tell me about Serenity Mesa and how Healing Addiction in Our Community, they say necessity is the mother of invention, right? Mm-hmm. And so I assume that through the nonprofit, you guys realized but are painfully aware of the lack of resources in the community that exist for our youth that struggle with this issue.
Right.
So tell us about Serenity Mesa.
So one of our goals when we opened Healing Addiction in Our Community was to provide resources for people to access treatment. And then we realized there really wasn't that many treatment resources out there. And it was really difficult to find resources, especially for young people under age 18. And so we set out on this mission to open Serenity Mesa. And so it took us 5 years once we started raising funding, once we started really trying. It was a grassroots effort, and we opened last May, so we've been open almost a year.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a tough road, and we have 10 beds. We want to expand to 32 eventually. The property that we're on can fit 32 people. And right now we're at 10. So it's a start, and we hope to expand as we get more funding.
Yeah, it's the old Hogatas facility, correct?
Yep, in the South Valley. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I remember going through the process of introducing some of your board members to realtors and looking around the community, because to find a facility such as this is not an easy thing to do.
Right.
It took you guys a while, right?
Yeah. And I'll let David talk a little bit about what we went through trying to build that property.
So for the last 4 years, we've been going up to Santa Fe for the sessions.
Lobbying.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a hard sell. And I hate to use the word sell, but it's basically been a sell. We go up and talk to the senators and representatives, and the way we've had to sell it is we've basically gone up there and we've presented it as not a red issue, not a blue issue, not a rich issue, not a poor issue.
Correct. Everyone is affected.
Everyone is affected. It's a human issue. New Mexico is number two in the nation in this epidemic in opiate overdoses.
Well, and when you think about the number of our youth or the number of individuals that are in addiction or you know, struggling with this, they are not the only, you know, ones that are affected.
Right.
We get to think about the family members that are supporting them or that lose belongings to their family member who came into their home and stole to take something to the pawn shop or trade for their addiction or, you know, to bail them out of jail or support them when they're incarcerated to pay for their treatment resources. The family, the entire community is really impacted by one individual's, you know, struggle with addiction.
Yeah, and you think about the, you know, the overcrowding in our jails, mm-hmm. the overcrowding in our juvenile detention centers. I mean, most people who are committing petty thefts, robberies, you know,
it's substance abuse related.
Yep. They're trying to get things that they can then either trade for drugs or sell mm-hmm. to get money for drugs.
You know, this actually brings up a lot of good points that you're talking about here. The impact on the community, how it affects other people in the community. That's very interesting because people talk about the cost all the time. And you said going and lobbying, mm-hmm. you had to go and lobby down in Santa Fe, and you ran into a little bit of hurdles with that. It wasn't easy because they're always talking about, well, we don't have the funding or financing from it. But the impact on the community is very expensive as well when we incarcerate our youth, when they're non-productive members of society, when they come out or they don't have the tools to operate or function. There is a lot of cost associated with that that people don't factor in when you talk about, hey, let's get some funding for, you know, Serenity Ranch or something. Or
Serenity Mesa, yeah.
Serenity Mesa.
It's a public safety issue. A friend of mine and I have passionate conversations about this all the time. It has everything to do with public safety. And if we can look at it from that perspective and direct resources, you know, because we say, you know, DOC, right, stands for the Department of Corrections. Everybody knows it. It doesn't correct anything, you know. It's crime school for a lot of people. They become incarcerated, especially in the juvenile facilities. You can see the recidivism rates increase by a person who is institutionalized at a young age. They're programmed essentially to behave that way and to seek those types of environments, you know, for the rest of their lives. And it's rare that, you know, someone can recover because they spent time, you know, in a detention center.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they could be connected to resources and a continuum of care, which begins with Healing Addiction Our Community, Serenity Mesa, then they can be introduced to counseling resources, job resources, education resources, and essentially be shown a different way of life.
Yeah.
And we talk about treatment over incarceration a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the last 4 years, we were able to raise right around $1.5 million. And that's how we were able to purchase Serenity Mesa.
And renovate the facility, right?
Get it up and running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have grants and we have fundraisers. This last weekend, we had our fourth annual charity golf.
That's a pretty popular event, too.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
We raised almost $50,000.
Oh, wow. That's
last weekend.
Good golf tournament. Yeah. I think for Paws and Stripes, we raised $2,000 at our first golf tournament. So that's a good job.
Yeah, we've got it down to a science. It's our fourth annual, so it's finally getting to where we've got it down. So if you need any advice, let us know.
So at what point, if people are listening to this or listening to the podcast, which will be available on GoLocalBoom.com, at what point would they reach out to you for either HAC resources or your Serenity Mesa resources? So if you're a family member or if you're even somebody who is having this issue, mm-hmm. at what point would they reach out to you and which organization would they reach out first?
Well, if you're looking for treatment, definitely Serenity Mesa, especially young men. That's what we're able to serve right now, young men age 14 to 21. So if you have a family member or friend or even yourself that's looking for help, contact us at Serenity Mesa. And our email address is info@serenitymesa.com. healingaddiction.com. And then for all other resources, family resources, if you just need somebody to talk to, if you are looking for resources, if you're looking for, you know, anything, if you want to, if you are in recovery yourself and you want to look for speaking opportunities or giving back to the community, you can reach out to Healing Addiction in our community. And the best way to do that is through our website.
Okay, so if you're a person who's looking for treatment, it's Serenity Mesa.
Yes.
And if you're somebody who's looking for family resources or information about the problems themselves, head over to Healing and Addiction.
Yep.
Healing Addiction, Healing our addiction. Community. HAC for short.
HAC.
Yeah, and you, and we're a lot of it is the same people. So if you, you know, if you contact the wrong place by mistake, then we'll hook you up with the right resources.
The thing that I love about Serenity Mesa is two of my close friends who are young, you know, vibrant individuals, Dylan and James, are both involved, and it's their passion. Their heart is fully in it. It is their way of life, and they work with these other, you know, youth and these youths. I thought about these two youths.
Yeah.
it's you know, the people that work to support both of these organizations are very passionate about it. It becomes a way of life, and that's when you know you're doing something right, when you've got people who absolutely love what they do and are passionate about it because they understand the value and importance of it. Is there anything else in the last minute of the interview that you guys would like to mention on either organization?
I think for us, it's been a healing process. Like you said, for the people that we have as employees and then also the parents that get involved, it's a healing process for them to heal as well as the person in recovery. And so it's helped so many people all the way around in so many different areas and facets.
I can understand that. Definitely helps to have somebody that understands what you're going through and has been through it themselves. That's the way that people in recovery recover over the long term.
Yeah.
You know, long-term recovery is experienced by those who surround themselves by people in recovery and do the work. The same can be said for the families that support those individuals.
Yeah, exactly. It's a community problem for sure.
So thanks so much for your time, guys. Tell us again one more time where they can find you.
www.healingaddictionnm.org and www.serenitymesa.org.
We're going to wrap up. Please stick around with us. I'm your host, Sean Baccaccini. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. The first group that we had on this morning was Healing Addiction in Our Community and Serenity Mesa. Great resource for local families if they're struggling with addiction. Would you agree?
Very important in the community, and I think that was a great topic to bring up.
Yeah, we love to work with community groups to show our listeners how, you know, they can get involved if they're so inclined or if they need access to that resource. Our second guest this morning is a very exciting business owner and local, Larry Donahue, attorney and founder at Law for Small Business. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming, because like we were saying, we like to introduce our listeners to community resources, and your business is certainly that. So this morning, we're going to talk about some challenges that local businesses, small businesses are experiencing, and you know what other opportunities exist for people if they're starting a business and they need some legal consulting. They probably don't even realize how much legal consulting they need. But if you're in business, you need some support.
A lot of people avoid it. That's why I think it's great to have our Larry on today to kind of give them an idea that it does not have to be something to avoid. You actually need it, and it's something that's going to help you.
And give us some examples of something a small business, a startup, or somebody that's already in operation could need in terms of legal support.
Well, you know, it's funny with that. It really depends on the kind of business. But I'll tell you, you think about a typical business and the top two expense items are going to be HR and or their lease, right? Either one of those. And both of those require a lawyer. And I'll give you one example on the employment side. A lot of people hire contractors to do their website, for example.
Uh-huh.
And they don't realize when they hire a contractor, the contractor actually owns the intellectual property that is developed for them, even though they paid the money for it. That includes their logo, their pictures, photos, the website itself. And so we end up, unfortunately, having to deal with a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, they don't know it until they have a falling out with the web designer and realize that this person will take away their website if they're so inclined, or if you don't pay them.
Oh yeah, and we've had even worse scenarios where a small business in the community will pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a pretty significant or robust e-commerce website, only then to have that web developer resell the website to competitors later on.
Wow.
Because it wasn't stipulated. It wasn't something that was already drawn up before.
Yeah, that's correct. And therefore,
in the contract.
That's right.
So think about a lease or any agreement, service agreement with the vendor as a legal binding contract.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, an independent contractor agreement, takes about maybe 15 minutes of my time, and that's what we charge the business to put a contractor or a contractor agreement in place. And yet businesses are afraid to hire lawyers, and that's kind of what my business is about, is trying to make legal services accessible to the small business.
And people can find you online, right? Law for Small Business, the number 4, which is I love because 4 is my lucky number, so I love your logo. But if people are looking for support for their business, the best way to find you is online. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's www.l4s. as in small, B as in business.com.
And of course, because you guys are so great at search engine optimization and web presence, they could just search any relevant search terms and you'd pop up, correct?
Yes, and we're competing on a national basis now. A lot of people have heard of LegalZoom, and that's because they're spending about $500,000 a month on advertising. So it's kind of hard to compete with that, but we are. And we're a law firm. LegalZoom, Rocket Lawyer, they're not law firms. They're just e-commerce companies with forms online. So when people call us, they actually talk to a lawyer. 9 times out of 10, it'll be me, but we have other lawyers as well, depending on where they're at in the country or what kind of special needs they have.
And, you know, and that's I think that's important to kind of point out, too. Right now, small business owners and entrepreneurs are constantly looking for affordable solutions for their legal services. And sometimes they get misled into what those resources are or are not. For instance, you just mentioned LegalZoom and a Rocket Lawyer. A lot of small businesses go on there for documents or contracts, any number of legal items, and they believe that's actually the best legal resource for them, and they avoid actually local attorneys a lot of times because they feel that there's a high cost associated with it. But there's also a high cost associated with the wrong legal advice or even taking documents or some of these items that they can get as these other resources that aren't appropriate for them.
Not filing them properly, not completing them properly, filling out the wrong document, those things can be detrimental as well.
Detrimental is putting it lightly. I literally have, you know, and I have a love-hate relationship with LegalZoom, by the way, because roughly 30% of our revenue comes from messed up situations.
Well, I think a lot of people have a love-hate relationship with attorneys, even though, you know, they for some reason they get a bad rap, but you guys are here to protect us and to help us.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When you do business on the internet, people will do their own research and reading, and they get in their heads, okay, I need to do X, Y, or Z. I need to form a trademark. I need an LLC. And LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer will simply say, okay, here you go, fill out the documents. And a lot of times they'll ask you questions that you really don't know what the answers are. They have very significant legal impacts down the road or costly impacts. There's times people call me and they'll say, well, I read online, I want to do this. And then I'm like, well, who the hell are you? And they'll tell me, and then I realize, no, you don't want to do
that.
You need to do something else, and here's why. And they're like, wow, I had no idea.
And in some instances, it's a matter of just a couple of words or one sentence worded the wrong way, worded improperly, and you could be in trouble down the road.
Oh, yeah. Something as simple as, like, I'll give you an example, a licensed professional. LLCs are not really for licensed professionals like doctors and lawyers, and it cracks me up when I see law firms in town that are LLCs. That's actually improper. They should be professional corporations, but they themselves don't know about business law.
Another good example is one of our other guests that was in the studio this morning. She creates food products, and you mentioned to her, well, if you are making cakes, you might want to have an LLC, because if someone has a nut allergy and they consume your products, who's going to be responsible for that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of reasons, and they're cost effective, but people just don't. I think they get busy trying to just do their own thing and meet their own payroll. It's hard to step in and do the right thing.
And you're bringing up a lot of great points here. Tell us about Law for Small Business. What you stand for, what is your goal with Law for Small Business? Because it's definitely titled Law for Small Business. So you only have one direct practice area that you're going into. You want to support local businesses or business owners and entrepreneurs. Tell us about the business and how you got started in that.
Sure. And, you know, the name, every day we get people calling wanting to sue businesses. We don't take those cases. We're not about suing businesses unless we're representing a business, but we don't allow consumers to come and sue local businesses, not in our firm. But, you know, I used to be a corporate counsel. I've been an attorney over 20 years, and I used to work at a lot of small and medium-sized high-tech startups. And it's been very difficult when I needed to outsource legal services to find a law firm, number one, and then two, that one that would do things very quickly and cost-effectively. I've had firms that literally would not talk to me without my business first sending in a $2,000 or $4,000 or $10,000 retainer. And it's like, why would I send you the money when I don't even know if I want to hire you yet? So I created Law for Small Business about 3.5-4 years ago with the intention of just making it easy to do business for small business. And that means, unfortunately, most small business listeners don't decide to hire a lawyer until they need something turned around.
Until it's too late.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's too late, or they'll have 24 hours, maybe 48 hours to get something important over the line. And so we built a business around turning things around very quickly and removing that one barrier, retainer fees. Now, if we have to go to court, we are professionally required to obtain a retainer. But all other matters, we don't ask for a retainer. It's just like hiring a painter almost. And so we'll bill later for our services. And that removes a lot of barriers to entry. And so and this resonates. And what we try to say is we're like a LegalZoom, but with real lawyers. And so it's not just about forms. It's about doing the right thing for your business. And we're growing. You know, we have we're up to 4 attorneys now in Albuquerque. We're looking for an office in Las Cruces. We have 2 separate folks in Texas, in Houston and Dallas, that are now working with us. We have somebody in Tampa, Florida. We have somebody in Illinois, and we're looking in other states as well. And eventually what I intend to do is have a brand that's worldwide that you can call and get local services for, or legal services. And it's really funny. A lot of small businesses here, even in New Mexico, they're not New Mexican companies necessarily. You know, they're doing business nationally or internationally. And so our firm's, you know, focused on trying to help those small businesses no matter where they're doing business.
What a great message to convey. Mm-hmm. We need to get this interview up on the website so that when people are vetting, you know, who they're going to reach out to for their legal support for their business, they can listen to you say, this is our methodology, this is our mission, and we have a person-to-person focus with real attorneys. It's not just an online directory, and we're not just going to send you a form, and we don't require a retainer up front. We want to provide you the service as quickly as possible, and our interest is really your security for your business. That's
right.
That's phenomenal. That would make me comfortable if I was in need of this support.
Well, I think that's the gap you're trying to fill, it sounds like. It sounds like you're trying to fill the gap between those services like Rocket Lawyer and LegalZoom, which don't even have real attorneys. All in between that, you're trying to fill the gap with the people who are asking for $5,000 and $10,000 retainers, which kind of scare a lot of business owners. And what ends up doing is they hurt themselves.
Well, and the quick delivery, right? Because we're so impatient with the convenience of the way we obtain resources nowadays. This is the drive-through, if you will, you know, where people are too patient to do the research and sit down. That's the reason they're using those online directories. And you guys have solved that problem as well. We do have a quick turnaround, and we do give you a personal focus right away.
Oh, yeah. We couldn't compete with LegalZoom if we didn't have the same pricing as them. Literally, some of our pricing is even cheaper. So LegalZoom's making a fortune. You know, they're having high school kids with a little bit of training answering the phone or doing whatever it is they're doing. But, you know, I have real lawyers. And, you know, I don't want to discount the other lawyers in town in New Mexico, by the way. We have some wonderful attorneys, wonderful law firms, and they're providing great, wonderful services. But I sort of view them as like the Cadillac. And a lot of small businesses just don't have the time or the money to afford the Cadillac. They want a Chevy. And so we're providing Chevy-based sort of legal services. And I'll tell you, there'll be instances where we'll take a client as far as we can, but then we'll find the right lawyer for them because they have a specialized issue or they need a specialized attorney. And that's fine. We'll do whatever we have to do in order to get the client where they need to go. And so it seems to be resonating well. You get anywhere from about 2 to 5 new clients a day, and it seems to be ramping up. We're very busy.
Yeah, I think it is because that branding makes sense to people, and I'm glad that you're a resource that they can look for in growing here locally, nationally, and internationally to help entrepreneurs and local businesses. Now, early on in the show, you had actually mentioned a couple of items that are main issues for businesses. So for our business owners and entrepreneur listeners out there, you mentioned things like LLC, you mentioned things like lease, agreements, contracts.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring up. What are some of the things that a local business might struggle with, or some of the things that you're seeing right now?
Well, the first issue is that they get contracts thrown at them, and they need to turn them around very quickly. And so we have a flat rate review, literally $10 a page, minimum 5 pages. We'll look over that contract, and we'll turn it around usually in 24, 48 hours. That's a big one, getting a lawyer to review the contracts. And every single time, and I've been doing this 20 years.
You find something that always, needed to be revised.
Always find problems or little gotchas. You know, we sort of have to rub the crystal ball and say, what could possibly go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that would be one big issue, and that relates to the leases.
And then you think $50 up front as opposed to $50,000 in a lawsuit in the long run.
Or bankruptcy.
Bankruptcy.
Yeah. I would never have thought about that. I don't know how many contracts I've looked at and reviewed myself and thought, I have no idea if this is good or not. Let's just sign it and get it over with. So I think that's a great lead in. All the issues that businesses have, law for small business handles, the flat rate contract review is a great lead in for you, I know.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that a lot of local businesses are having trouble with are copyrights. And what people don't know about copyright law is it's one of the few areas of the law that is a strict liability offense. It's almost like statutory rape. You can't use the excuse, you didn't know this person was 15 years
old. You're still liable for it.
You're still liable. I didn't know that the developer that I hired or the contractor I hired out of India was using stolen images. You literally have, and I'm dealing with defenses.
Oh, wow. Images is a big thing.
$75,000 statutory damages right off the bat. And there's law firms in D.C. and Washington, that's what they do. They sue local businesses for these copyright infringements. And so we've had to do a lot of defense around that. But I encourage businesses to know who you hire. And it may be a little bit more money to hire somebody locally sometimes, but you know who they are, and you force them to use the right copyrights, you know, for their work product.
Larry, it's been such a great opportunity to have you in here and talk with you about this. Tell us one more time how your clients can find you.
Just on the web, www.l4sb.com.
Have a great morning.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Once again, I am your host, Sean Bagaccini, my co-host, Vincent Trujillo.
Yo.
It was his idea to have the show this morning. We wouldn't be here without Vince. Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you for leading it and doing a better job than I could.
So we have had some great guests on this morning, and we are not going to let you down with our third guest, Quenisha Myers.
Yes.
I'm having a hard time speaking today. Owner-operator at Q's Cakes.
That's me.
Tell us about Q's Cakes.
So Q's Cakes is a bakery here in town, which I think is pretty darn awesome, if I do say so myself.
I would agree, and so would our producer, Mike, who just consumed one of your brownies.
Yes.
He said
and
he loved
so
it.
So we make a little bit of everything. We make cakes, cupcakes, chocolate-covered Oreos, the brownies, scones, cinnamon rolls.
Mostly baked.
Cobbler.
Baked goods? Yeah, do we have deep-fried Oreos and cookies?
You can if you want.
Oh, that's...
You know, leading up to Mardi Gras, we do a lot of the beignets, and we do the king cakes as well. So we kind of go with what's ever going on.
What's a king cake?
You haven't had a king cake?
I've never had a cake.
I'm
not a cake person. I got to be
honest. So is this delicious cake? It's a yeast type cake that you kind of braid, and then you put a little baby in it.
I've seen this.
Yeah, and sprinkle with the different colors and everything like that. Yeah.
In the Hispanic cultures around here, I've come across those at an employee party or two. What are they called, Vince?
I don't know. Actually, I thought it was a more of a Southern tradition.
No, there is another one that is local here. I can't remember the name of it because I made one last year for a young lady, but they use dried fruit on theirs.
Amber Ortega is in the booth with us. Does Amber know what the name of that cake is? Nope, she can't remember the name either.
Like empanadas?
We've got a Trujillo and an Ortega in the room, and neither of them know the name of the cake with the baby in it.
Yes.
Anyway, please continue.
Let me call my mother.
You know, we do a little bit of everything, and people always ask, what do we have on our menus throughout the week? And I really can't tell you because I don't follow a set menu. It's just whatever I feel like doing.
Well, so would you say that your in-store sales make up less of your business than your private client account orders?
Oh, definitely.
Right.
We still get a lot of custom orders, a lot of weddings.
So you don't need a menu so much because you're doing a lot of custom orders.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that you have some feedback and influence on what they decide to do. They come in and say, we need a wedding cake. And you say, well, we could do all kinds of things,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So that's, I asked Q when she came in here, tell us your favorite thing about your business. And she said, oh, I just love doing crazy, unique baking and coming up with cool stuff. My response was sweet. No pun intended. Oh, Amber came up with the name
of
the cake.
The name?
What's it called?
Rosca de Reyes.
That's it. Yep. That's it.
And so in other cultures, it's a king's cake.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you didn't finish telling us about it. So you bake the cake, you braid the cake, mm-hmm. you put a little statue in there.
Yeah. So you the cake can have different types of filling. The traditional filling is a cinnamon sugar pecan one, but you can also do a strawberry Bavarian cream. And then after it's baked, you drizzle it with some frosting, and then you sprinkle it with different colors. The purple, green, and gold are the traditional colors. You also adorn it with some beads, the Mardi Gras beads, a mask.
Edible beads?
No. It's just for decoration. And then at the end, you put a baby in. And so once you cut it, whoever gets the baby, it's supposed to be kind of like good luck or, you know, a good thing or whatever.
Or pregnancy. That could be good luck for some people.
For some people, not me.
Do you is it supposed to be hidden in the cake, or is it not in the center? It's just at some random location.
Yeah, so you don't know until you cut it. And
it's great. I like that. It's a great tradition.
So
like
really cool.
Black-eyed peas at New Year's, right?
Exactly. It's kind of the same thing.
Tradition for good luck. That's pretty awesome. So tell us something else that we don't know about your business that your customers should know. For example, how do they find out about you?
So we are very active on social media. I have a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, a website, qcakes.com. Facebook is Q's Cakes, QS Cakes. Same thing for Instagram and Twitter. We're always on there posting pictures.
What about a website?
Qcakes.com.
Wonderful.
Just keep it really simple and easy. And, you know, I guess right now what's really popular for us, I'm working on a book and a line of cakes called comfort food cakes. So I take traditional desserts that you're used to having during those times when you want to just indulge, and I've made it into a cake form. So we have a peach cobbler, we have a banana pudding, a chocolate brownie.
Oh, these are wonderful ideas.
Oreo. We just debuted the strawberry cheesecake one. So it's a whole line of different types of comfort food items that you're used to having, but they're in cake form.
Where did you come up with the idea to do this? Because this is a great concept.
That's my crazy mind. That's just how I love different things. Like, I love Oreos, and I thought this would be great to make into like a cake form. I love brownies, so I did the same thing, and I love peach cobbler and banana pudding. So.
And you know, that's when you know that you have a business person or entrepreneur that actually loves what they do. Because she didn't come up, I only do four things. She said, I love being creative in my art and what I do. Because you're passionate about it.
I am.
So we could almost throw anything at you.
Yeah. You know, and I have people all the time that say, you know, someone wanted, his girlfriend liked the sour, what's the little sour candy, the little men, the little.
The Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. So that she likes watermelon sour, and he wanted me to come up with something for that, and I did. So people throw stuff at me all the time, and I'm like, okay, I'll give it a try, you know. So there's nothing that I won't try.
I love that. There's some construction going on downstairs or something. You hear that?
Yeah, just a little bit. But I'm actually distracted.
Is your mouth watering right now?
I'm distracted by the beautiful stuff you brought into the studio today.
Thank you.
You brought in some beautiful colored pastries. Tell us a little bit about them. We have cupcakes. I recognize those.
Yes.
You have some brownies, and then you have some very interesting shaped, I don't even know what they call them.
They all ended up
in front of Vincent somehow. There's a container full of goodies, but they're all in front of Vincent now.
Yeah, so those are our chocolate-covered Oreos. We sell a lot of those. And the great thing about them, you know, we can customize them for whatever event or whatever you have going on. So like the one you have right there, it has the little football on them. We do wholesale them to a couple places, and so they have an edible image of their logo on it. We have the rose ones. We have
that does not look like an Oreo at all. It looks like a rose. It's pink, and it's covered. That can't be fondant, correct?
No, it's all chocolate.
It's all chocolate. Yeah. So
we have different
molds. Tell me the process that you go through to decorate an Oreo.
No, I can't tell you that.
It's proprietary? Yes. Secret?
Okay. No, we use, we have some molds, and then we also use what's called chocolate transfer sheets to get some of the edible images on there. And I also have an edible printer that prints off of sugar sheets.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I can
cool.
put that, put different things on
so,
it.
So many advanced things.
Yeah. It's amazing the
we
stuff.
Need
and
some,
they're always
some.
Coming out with new stuff. It's ridiculous.
Go local, boom,
donuts. And I feel
donuts.
Like I want it, but I can't afford it right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we, you know, we do a little bit of everything. And I love this time of the year because we're deep into wedding season, so we're doing a lot of weddings, and thankfully people have come to you know, trust me. So I don't just do the traditional wedding cakes anymore. I do really over the top different ones, and even the flavors. Most people are used to the white cake, the chocolate, but the one I did recently, I did one that was carrot. I did one that was butter pecan, Italian cream. We did a chocolate chip one. So I just love doing different stuff.
So if someone wants to get some great custom orders going, they go to Q's Cakes. You're not afraid of anything.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah. And not only are you not afraid, but you do a delicious job. The brownie was delicious. I'm not a big sweets person, but I love the stuff that you brought in.
Thank you. And another thing that we do that kind of separates us apart from a lot of people, we make a lot of vegan items. So we have cupcakes, cakes, brownies. We do cinnamon rolls. We also do gluten-free items as well, too. So, you know, I have so many people who come in and say, oh, I can't have it because I'm gluten-free. I'm like, yes, you can, because I can make something for you.
Yeah.
Indeed. Or even diabetic people, we have items as well. So pretty much whatever you want.
So you mentioned earlier, I asked you how you came up with converting comfort foods into cakes. Mm-hmm. And you said, well, it's just the way my mind works. It's, you know, I love doing unique things like that. Is that how you got into business? Tell us about how you started in your own business.
So it started years ago when I was about 11 or 12. My grandmother had a bag of flour, and on the back of that flour was a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. And so I took my allowance money and I went and got the ingredients and I baked the cookies and I took them around the neighborhood to all my friends. And so I would do that just whenever. And then over time,
For profit? Were you trying to sell cookies
just
to your friends?
No, just to give out, because I just love baking. And so once I got older, I was doing cakes for, you know, friends and family. And people kept saying, oh, you should do it as a business. And I was like, no, whatever. Long story short, I started in 2009. I was renting my commercial kitchen space. And I was still doing it on the side, but I wanted to be legit. And not do it out of my home, because I just have so much stuff going on anyway. And I just like, baking for me is kind of like a release. So where some people like to go and shop, I go and bake. So I wanted to be legit and have the space in order to do that. So I did. And then in 2013, I got picked up by Albuquerque Magazine for their Mother's Day guide. They featured my cupcake bouquet and my red velvet cheesecake. And it took off from there. That year, I was voted a top 5 bakery without having a bakery. So that was tricky explaining to people, because I was getting all these phone calls from people wanting the cakes. And I'm like, well, I really only work on the weekend, because I was working at the labs at the time.
I actually remember that.
Yeah.
I was at Albuquerque, the magazine, at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the push to get the storefront open. And so here we are.
Yeah, I remember when we were first reaching out. That's so funny. Mm-hmm. That it just kind of came back into my memory.
Yeah.
But yeah, you did a little bit of networking, mm-hmm. and that was the extent, just so you could have something to keep you busy on the weekends.
Yep.
And the business created its own need, really.
It did.
And that's very important to point out to a lot of business owners, too. A lot of them think, hey, I'm just going to start off with the storefront before they go out there and meet people or tell people about what they do. You went about it the other way. You said, I'm going to meet the right people. I'm going to get connected. I'm going to get my name out there a little bit. And then you went into a storefront already with some nice business coming in,
yes,
and a little
exactly.
bit of name recognition. I recognize the name, and I've never been to your store, and I haven't met you until now.
Well, we had Chef Joy in here a couple of weeks ago from Spice Gal Gourmet.
Yes.
And Chef Joy and I had some conversations with Q, because she's got such great products and great ideas, and her and Joy are both starting up and trying to build their businesses. And so, you know, here at Go Local Boom, we love to connect local businesses and go-getters, entrepreneurs, right? She had an idea. She loved to bake. Not everybody wants to do what it is that they love doing, their hobby, professionally, because then it's no longer enjoyable. However, they say, right, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Would you say that's true for you?
No. That's a lie.
You work hard?
Yeah. You will work. Trust me. You are going to work. You will love the work a lot more, but it's work. You know, I used to think that too until I started the storefront. But it's just a different type of work. I think they need to kind of change that quote a little bit.
No, I don't think there's a single business owner or entrepreneur that doesn't know that they have to work very hard. Being able to do what you love, even though it's hard work, is a whole different sense of enjoyment.
It is. It really is.
And your sense of enjoyment is so great, because Amber just couldn't resist walking over and picking up that cupcake.
She's going to break her diet. Yay!
The fourth time today we made her blush, by the way. So wrapping up real quick, let's make sure that your customers and potential clientele know how to find you, and tell us again how much you love doing business in Albuquerque.
Yes. So you can find me on my website, www.cakes.com, on Facebook, Q's Cakes, QSCAKES. You can also reach us at 514-6775, and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, QCakes.
Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you
it was
for
great
having
to
me.
Talk with
Good
you.
Good to see you again.
I'm going to partake in these candy-covered pecans.
Sugar pecans, yes.
Yeah, cream, you know, sugar
pecans.
I'm not a cupcake guy, but I can do those. Hang out with us. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. It's been a fun interview session so far this morning. They say Mercury is in retrograde, and that has a lot to do with vehicles breaking down, car accidents, and communication problems. I find this to be true because I've had a difficult time forming sentences this morning. Have you noticed that?
You've done a great job, man.
Yeah. So in any case, here we are. Well, people listening, driving down the road in their car, you know, they want to connect and listen to local resources, what's going on with Go Local Boom. They don't want to hear a guy that's stumbling over his sentences, you know. So I'm going to let
That's you... why you're not the highlight, you know. The business owner. Were the highlight.
The business
we're
owners
the frame around
are the highlight. So let's talk about those businesses. First, we had the Healing Addiction in Our Community and Serenity Mesa dynamic duo, husband and wife. Yeah, great story. Husband and wife, Jennifer Wise Burke. She's the executive director. Her husband, David Burke, director of programming and facilities. They've been doing this in the community, providing and advocating educational resources for families supporting, you know, their addict.
Substance abuse.
Yeah, there's addict or alcoholic substance abuse in the community, and saw that after they lost their child, unfortunately.
We didn't touch on that, but that is a major part of the story and very tragic.
Yeah, anybody that knows Jen knows that yeah, she lost her son, and it was unfortunate that, or was it her daughter?
Son.
Yeah, her son. And there's another prominent family that they lost their daughter, and I think they are collaborative in this organization.
Right.
But so they created Serenity Mesa so that juveniles, you know, that are struggling with addiction can have a place to right. develop resources and get a fresh start.
And very important to point out to everybody out there, we didn't touch on it during the segment, but I did want to point out that they are taking contributions. They are looking for a lot of things. If people want to just donate, you can donate. This is a place where you can donate clothes, men's clothes.
And it's not as though they have a thrift store. The clients and the young men that are living in their facility, soon to have a young women's facility mm-hmm. on site as well, they need clothing. They need hygiene,
right.
sports equipment. They could always use volunteers and in the way of mentors, big brothers, big sisters, and so on. So you said you've got a couple of bags of clothes, right?
Right. Yeah. So I had clothes that I was trying to figure out, well, where am I going to drop off these clothes? You know, you think of these different shelters. Sometimes you think of Goodwill, other places. I do like to try to donate items to places where they're going to be used directly. But they're taking hygienic products too, deodorant, toothbrushes, other things. They take it all. Anything that a young man could use at the facility, they'll take.
Yeah. We just moved into a new house, so all of the leftovers that we're not going to use, you always find out how much more stuff you have than you need when you move, right? So we still have a few bags that are going directly over there. And then our second guest, Larry Donahue, he's the attorney and founder, creator of this awesome business and resource for small business,
right.
Law for Small Business is the name. Perfect name, right?
Perfect name, yeah. You can find it by searching up Business Attorney Albuquerque or Law for Small Business in Albuquerque. Great resource. Businesses don't think about it enough. I know they think about it. They just think it's out of my reach. It's too much money, or I don't understand how to use them.
And it's unfortunate that attorneys have such a bad rap. When you meet an attorney like Larry, who's such a good guy, and he genuinely cares about protecting an individual and helping them to make a good decision so they're not creating liability for themselves.
Right. And he's about providing a great a la carte menu from contracts, LLC, formation, anything else that they might need at an affordable, fast turnaround.
With no upfront fees, no retainers.
No retainers.
You know, such a great model for business. Larry was a good guy. We should have him in here.
Yeah, I think we might have him recurring. I think it's something that business owners would like as a little bit of legal advice. Regularly.
I don't think you realize when starting a business, you know, how careful you have to be and how simple it is, you know, to we call it penny wise and pound foolish, to not be cautious in the upstart so that you can have security in the long run for your business. And then, of course, Q Cakes was our final guest. She brought in a bunch of delectable treats here, cupcakes and chocolate covered Oreos and sweet and savory, salty pecans or something to that effect. I'm not going to eat any of those sweets, but I'll take the nuts.
You know, and a great thing that she mentioned that too. I'm not a huge gluten eater, but she does non-gluten. She does diabetic. probiotic friendly recipes.
Vegan.
Vegan. I mean, she does a lot of great stuff that you can use and go in there for, not necessarily just straight pastry, sweet pastries. So it was great to hear. They're creative. Wanted to point out that she's able to do custom work, so she can put your logo, she can put...
Well, she's got a brick-and-mortar storefront where you can come in and pick some things right up, but she focuses mostly on custom because that's how she started. I love the story of her startup, as she was just cooking cakes for family members, and you know, Albuquerque the magazine saw what she did and said, hey, check this person out, and her business exploded.
That's great. Great story about how to start up a business, too, and get some local visibility prior to opening up a storefront.
So what else, Vince? Let's wrap on. It's been a great week so far. I really like interacting with these local businesses and spending time with them. Go Local Boom, sponsored by Cumulus Media Stations. We're on 1050 KTBL because Cumulus wants Albuquerque to have a resource for local businesses, and it's free. If you'd like to be on the show, if you know anybody that owns their own business and wants to be on the show, reach out to us on the Facebook page, Go Local Boom on Facebook. We got a website, golocalboom.com. It's an online business directory. Anybody who wants to find out about where a local business is that they can support, or if you're a local business and you'd like a profile, reach out to us on the website, the contact page on Facebook. We just invite people in here and have a great time talking about their successes, yeah, their challenges, resources, and collaboration in the community.
We're all about highlighting those people who are actually taking that risk. You know, they're out there. It's a great community support in our community for not only organizations, but also for our economy. We love business owners and entrepreneurs because they support our economy on many different levels, and they're out there making us a unique and vibrant place.
Yeah, that being said, we sincerely appreciate you all listening to us and spending this morning with us. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL, sponsored by Go Local Boom LLC, Albuquerque's only online business directory that's free, where locally owned businesses and local customers can go to find each other. Visit us on golocalboom.com, and we will see you next weekend. It's 10 a.m. on Saturday, 1050 KTBL. Thanks, Vince.
Thank you.